In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Glory to Jesus Christ. Joyous Lord's Day to you all. It's a joy to see you all. It's always, you know, I was telling people before, it's like, are you happy to see me at church? I'm like, yeah. I said, well, I'm happy to see you too. So it's never underestimate the joy that you bring when you come to church, right? And people can see you, your presence there. So in the gospel reading today, by the way, I love Matthew. I love Mark, Luke, and John too, but Matthew is a very interesting gospel, and a lot of parallels, of course, with the other synoptics, especially with Luke. But in this one today, we read about a soldier that came out to meet Christ. Now, to kind of set the stage of what's going on here, we need to take a moment to do a little class in geography, right? So I always thought this was fascinating because this really adds a whole nother layer to the gospels as you read them. So if you look at a map, there's Galilee up here, and then the Jordan, and then the Dead Sea, right? And so up here's Galilee. There's Samaria, and there's Judea with Jerusalem down here, and over here's Decapolis. So up here in Capernaum, around the Sea of Galilee, are all these towns. You have Gennesaret. You've heard that before, right? You have Capernaum, which you heard today. You have Gersaea, which is where the Gergesene demoniac or demoniacs, depending on which gospel you're reading, there's either one or two, we're at. So it's all in this area up there. So you see Christ in this region, getting on a boat, going across, preaching, healing, right? And so the centurion comes out, and they call him centurions for a reason, right? Do you know why they call him centurions? It's kind of obvious. they're in charge of 100 men. Century, 100, right? And so he's in charge of 100 men. He's got a lot of responsibility. And more than likely, he was the one that was sent in Capernaum to keep the peace in that town to make sure that the Maccabeans don't come back and do another revolt or whatever, other bad stuff, the zealots, right? So this man had a lot of responsibility in that region. More than likely, Capernaum was his place to keep safe, make sure they weren't going to revolt. And that's a very interesting thing because this man had authority over these men. He would tell them to do something and they would do it. He'd tell a servant to do something, they would do it. He would just say it and do it. And this is he says this very fascinating thing to Christ. He says, I also am a man under authority, indicating that Christ is under authority. He acknowledges that Christ has authority. And this is a very interesting concept because we tend to think of authority as an abstract thing. People just through a very modernistic idea that people gain authority through the sheer execution of force, right? Evil leaders rise up because they're just mean and they have better guns, right? They're really mean, they're really ruthless, and they just know how to take over people. But in the time of Christ, people didn't see authority that way. And Paul is very clear about this in his letter to the Romans when he talks about the rise of Pharaoh. And they ask, why did he let Pharaoh take over and dominate the Jews? Why did he let evil men rise into power? And he says, because there's only one authority in the universe, and that is the authority of God. And so if anyone has authority, it's because God, by some providence, for whatever reason, he allowed it to happen. He allowed that person to rise to prominence for some reason. And if you talk to some of the Russians nowadays, they say, well, he allowed the Bolsheviks to take over to help us repent, you know, and turn away from atheism and get back to our roots as Orthodox Christians. I've heard numerous older Russians say that. Yeah, it's what we needed to help us repent. And so all this authority comes from on high. All authority comes from on high. No one's allowed to do anything unless God allows it. It doesn't say he wants it to happen, but he allows it to happen. So this man saw in Christ the ultimate height of authority. You know, we think of Transfiguration on Mount Tabor. You know, he's standing up there with Elijah and Moses, and there's light radiating from him. Kind of like when Moses came down from the mountain. But it wasn't, you know, when Moses came down, he had this brilliance coming from his face. He had to put a cloth over him. It was God's glory shining through him, whereas with Christ, God's glory is shining from him. He's revealing himself as God. That's what, you know, it's Transfiguration. They saw who he was and they fell back and they wanted to make little monuments and stuff like that. And so we see in the centurion, this man who understands authority, when he saw Christ, what did he see but authority? He says, I know this. I know this because I've experienced a little bit of it. In my tiny little world with my 100 guys in my tiny little town in a poor seaport of Galilee, I know what authority is, and you are authority. You have the power to do whatever you want. And it's funny because when he says, I have authority over these men, what does he then say to Christ? But he implies, you have authority over everything. Because if you just say it from here, it will happen. And what's happening is in another distance away, however far off the servant was, Christ, he was there sick and dying, and he says, if you just say the word, that boy will be well. Because you have authority over everything. Whereas I just have authority over 100 men. And then, of course, it says, I love this word. And people have wrestled with this. He says that Christ marveled. Marveled. But if you look up the original Greek word, it's like admired. It's a type of admiration, like, wow, good job, Claudius, or whatever your name is, you know? I haven't seen a faith like this in all of in Israel. Because what the centurion showed us today is something that we are all supposed to be engaging every day of our lives. The centurion, this Roman, this supposed pagan, the Romans were pagans. If he was a centurion, he was a pagan. Because there weren't a lot of Christians at that time. It was until later. But even later, if you were a centurion and they found out you were a Christian, they would execute you, right? You'd be stripped of your rank. So the fact is, this guy was a practicing pagan. He was offering, sacrifices to false gods, to demons. And yet even then, he could see that Christ had authority over everything. So then we ask ourselves, who are we that we don't really believe that God has authority over everything? Are we worse than the pagans? And that's what he said. He said people will come from all around and sit at the kingdom of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These pagans, these Gentiles have more faith than you. They believe that I have authority over everything. Do you believe? It is impossible for us, or we should not. It's not impossible because we do it all the time, but we should not read the scriptures and not ask, who am I in this story? Who am I in this story today? Am I the sick son? Yeah, probably. Am I a centurion? Maybe sometimes. But more than likely, I'm that Israelite who does not believe, who does not have faith, who does not truly believe that God has authority over everything. And we have this temptation in our lives to think that it's called God in my pocket, right? I'm going to go through life. I'm going to save myself. I'm going to do my prayers. I'm going to, I'm going to go do good. And I'm going to... And then every once in a while, life gets too hard, it gets too big, it gets too difficult, and we go reach in our pocket, and we're like, Jesus, where are you? Where did I put you? Oh, there you are. I really need your help right now because I was doing all this stuff, and now it's falling apart. And he's like, okay, I'll help you. And he helps, and then we put him back in our pocket, and we go back, and we do our thing. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't just call on God when things are bad, and then try to do everything else in your life on your own. And I've said this before, and I'm going to get sick of hearing it. The only thing you can do on your own is go to hell. That's it. You need each other, and above all, you need God, the one who is mighty over everything. He's not just mighty over 100 men. He's mighty over all creation, all of time, all of matter. And if you ever read science, you see how vast the universe is. It's amazing. This is the God who we worship, the God over all that, even the dark matter. Even the spaces where we can't understand what dark matter is, I won't go into it, but it's amazing stuff, right? And black holes, and all these things, and time, and space, and distance. The bending of gravity, the bending of light, and things like that, or the bending of time and light and matter through gravity, it's amazing stuff, and he's our God. So why would you want to spend one moment of your life without him? Why would you want to get up in the morning without first engaging him and reaching out to him and inviting him into your life? And then you might ask yourself, well, why doesn't he just do it? Because he loves us, and he's not going to crush us because he is so powerful. He is so powerful, and we are so weak, that if he were to come into our lives and just say, here, this is what you're going to do, which is what I would do, you need to do this, He sits back quietly, and he waits. He stands at the door of our hearts silently knocking and waiting for that moment when we finally come to our senses and we realize we cannot live without him. So we are kind of like the sick boy in this story too, right? So what do we do? My friends, prayer, it happens all the time. It's happening right now. We don't just pray when life starts to fall apart, when life is difficult, when things are too much for us. We pray all the time. Because it's not just, we're not just spoiled brats that run to our rich daddy every time the Porsche breaks down. We are his bride. We are his bride and we run to him. And we fall into his arms where he loves us with his warm embrace. And he calls us to him constantly, forsake all the other false gods. He's like, Hosea, that's your homework. Go home and read Hosea. His wife Gomer was an awful wife. I'm Gomer. You're Gomer, wandering the streets, harlots, seeking lovers instead of being faithful to our bridegroom. Love him. Seek him every day of your life. Get up in the morning. First thing you do, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, I pray that you would guide my will today, that every step of this day would be with you, that every thought, every breath, everything that I say and do would be according to your holy will. And then get out of bed. And then do that all day. Especially when you're driving. That's your challenge. Especially when you're driving. Do nothing without Christ. Invite him into every moment of your life. Be like the centurion. Have faith and believe that Christ has authority to heal what is sick, to restore what is broken, to find what is lost, and to bring life where there is death. Even your memories. That's like ninja level Christian. When God enters into your memories and your old experiences and illumines them, and they no longer torment you, but instead they give you life, no matter how painful that memory is. I'm still working on that. It's a tough one. That memory comes back and you just make the sign of the cross. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me and have mercy on them who harmed me and have mercy on me who harmed them. And so this week, let us commit ourselves to Christ, to walking with him every day of our lives, to enter, have him enter into our lives as our Lord God and our Savior, the healer, our bridegroom, our beloved, the giver of life, the one who heals the sick, and who heals us, right? We're all a bunch of, just so you've heard this before, that the church is literally, it's a hospital. It really is. It's a hospital. We're all broken here. Even your priest, we're all broken. We all need of grace. We all need God. So let's reach out to him and let him be the one who has authority over us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.